Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Hallelujah. In case you don't know who I am, I think everybody knows who I am, but in case there's someone in the world that doesn't, my name is Billy Hunt. And I'm just delighted to be here tonight and to be a part of tonight's meeting. And so Pastor allows me to speak occasionally. I sent him I probably shouldn't tell you this. Pastor, if you're watching, don't get upset because I'm telling them the truth. I sent him a little outline of something that I thought would be just wonderful to teach. And he wrote me back and he said, "This is really good, but I'd like for you to teach on prayer again." I said, "That's the only thing I ever teach on." But I don't mind. I love to pray. Do you love to pray? I love to pray. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing you can do. And specifically, he asked me to teach you tonight on praying the Word of God. So that's what we're going to talk about. But before I talk about that, let's talk about stewardship. I'm going to talk about tonight in stewardship, I'm going to read kind of a lengthy parable. A parable, Jesus taught with parables all the time. And a parable, the word parable, paraboli, the Greek word for parable, means to throw alongside. And what a parable is a story about ordinary things that illustrates a very important deep spiritual truth. And the particular parable that I'm going to look at has to do with being a steward of what God gives you. And so let's look at this parable and read through it. This is Matthew. By the way, tonight, if you have a pencil and paper, get it out because I'm going to give you some scriptures and you need to remember them. But this one is Matthew 25, 14 through 25. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability." That's really important. The Lord gives you what you're able to take care of. So each according to his ability. "Then he went away, and he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more." Now he's got 10 talents. "So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came, bringing his 5 talents more, and saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.'" Now, you know, I wanted to talk to you about that third guy. The first two guys were very bold and they invested and they did well. But I think the last guy demonstrates the reason most people that don't give, don't give. They're afraid. "I don't have enough. If I give, I won't be able to pay my bills. I'm afraid. I'm just afraid." And so they don't give. And that's really, I want to talk to you about that because it's probably the biggest reason people do not give today. Perhaps that's what giving is all about. Is that what giving is all about? Learning to trust God with our money. That's really what it's about. That God doesn't need our money. He made the heavens and the earth. And if he wanted something else, he'd make it. So it's not about God. It's about us. It's everything God does, everything God asks of us is for our benefit. He's teaching us. He's helping us. He wants us to be generous. He wants us to give so that he can give back to us. It's a part of our faith. And so Luke 6:38 says it like this. So just give. This is God's law for prosperity. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, I will cause men to give to your bosom. So don't be afraid to give. Don't be afraid. Begin. Just begin. I want to tell you just a little quick story. Not long ago, I met a lady. She was actually begging, and she asked me to give her some money. And the Lord spoke to me to do it. The Lord doesn't always speak to me to do it, but he spoke to me to do it. But when he spoke to me to do it, I thought, surely you're not asking me to do that, Lord. He said, yeah, do it. So I gave her the money. And I said, now I want to share with you that the Lord spoke to me to give this money to you. And the Lord teaches us to tithe. A tithe is 10%. But this isn't very much money. And 10% of this money isn't very much. But what I would like for you to do is to go to a church and give 10% of this money back to the Lord. And I promise you, if you'll do it, you'll be blessed. Well, there was no conversation about it. I left. I went my way. She went her way. But I saw her again. And she said, you know, I did what you told me to do. And not only with the money you gave me, but with the money other people have been giving me. She said one church didn't want to take it because I was so poor. They wanted me to take it back. But she said, I told them I couldn't. And I'm believing God that that lady is going to be delivered because she obeyed. Isn't that interesting? That's your stewardship. God bless you. Because now I want to save as much time as I can. I have 30 minutes to teach you how to pray the word. Probably of all the ways that I pray, and I pray a lot, probably a prayer that I pray a lot is help. I don't suppose you ever do that. Help me, Jesus. I pray that a lot. But I pray different types of prayers. We all do. We bless our food. We have prayers of thanksgiving. But almost every time I pray, even when I'm blessing my food, I pray the word. If you've never heard me bless food, I'll just tell you how I pray the word. I say, Lord, you said if we would worship you, you would bless our bread, bless our water, take sickness out of our midst. If we eat any deadly thing, it will not hurt us. You will satisfy our mouth with good things, and you will renew our youth like the eagles. I pray that. That's what I pray over my food. And that's a habit that I have. And I pray, I like to pray the word. So tonight, I really want to talk to you about why we pray the word. I know you may wonder, why in the world would you pray the scripture? Why don't you just tell God what you need or just tell him that you appreciate him? Why do you pray the scripture? So I'm going to start with one of my favorite scriptures. I love this scripture, and I love it in the Amplified Bible. And they're going to put it up on the screen so we can talk about it. If I can turn the page. So I'll be in the right place when I get through. The word that God speaks, this is Hebrews 4:12. You need to write this scripture down. Don't try to write the whole scripture, but write the reference. Hebrews 4:12. The word that God speaks is alive. It's full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, your soul, and your immortal spirit, and of your joints and your marrow, and of the deepest parts of our nature. What a powerful verse. There's several things I want you to notice about that. The first thing I want you to notice is the Word of God. That's this little book, or it may be in your phone, but it's this little book, the Bible. The Bible is not just a book with paper pages in it. The Bible is alive. The words that are in this book are alive. They're not only alive, they're active. They're actually active. They're not only active, they're full of power. This Bible is full of power. And it's operative. It works. It really works. I can promise you, it works. Oh, I love the Bible. And more than anything lately in my life, in this year, I've really realized how alive the Word of God is. It is alive. It is a living, breathing thing. The words that God speaks, and they're written in this book. And that's not all. It says, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. That means it's a weapon. Now, this is not the only place that it says it's a weapon. In Ephesians, we're told it's a weapon. We're told it's a weapon. It says, take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Isn't that powerful? It's a weapon. Do I have that scripture up there? Yeah, I do. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit. So there it is. There's the Word and there's pray. What do I pray? Pray the Word. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and with request. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Isn't that a powerful verse? But it's a way. You know, in the book of the Revelation, when it talks about Jesus returning, come on, Jesus. When it talks about Jesus, the sky splitting, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. And it says, out of his mouth, there's a sword coming. And what is it? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. He will destroy the enemy with the Word of God. And you know what? You can too. You can too. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you can lift up the Word of God as a sword. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it will pierce through whatever the enemy is trying to do. You need to learn to pray the Word of God if you're not already praying it, because it's a weapon. It's a weapon in our warfare. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. I don't think they have this scripture. I think I may have put it in later. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. That's to tell us what God wants, to tell us what is right, to tell us what is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, and then it's profitable for reproof. So the Word of God will tell you what's right, and it will reprove you. It will tell you when you're wrong. The Word of God will point out your weakness. And it's good for reproof, and it's good for correction. It'll show you how to correct your problem. If you really want to know how to correct your problem, get in the Word. Get in the Word. It'll show you how to correct your problem. And then it'll instruct you how to stay right. Once you correct that problem, once you've gotten free, you need to stay free. A lot of people get free. They never crack the book. They never pray. They never spend time in God's presence. And before you know it, the enemy's after them again. Their old nature is after them again. And they're falling again. And they're falling out of church. And they're really not getting close to the Lord. Why is that? They need the Word. They need the Word. They need the Word. And it will thoroughly furnish you to all good works. So God's Word is a weapon. It will divide between your soul and your spirit. It will expose things in your life as you pray the Word. It will begin to sift through your thoughts and through your emotions and through all the entanglements around you. It will begin to sift it out and show you what's important and what's not. It'll begin to give you wisdom and lead you. It'll help you analyze your situations. And it will help you judge your thoughts and the purposes of your heart. That's what the Word of God will do. That's what the Word of God will do. Ephesians 6, 17 and 18, we already looked at that, and that is that it is a weapon. So we're talking about why would you want to pray the Word of God. Well, I think I've given you enough information already to tell you why you should pray the Word of God. But I have some more. Isaiah, I love this one. Isaiah 55, 11. Let's look at this one. So will my word be, which goes out of my mouth. This is God talking, by the way, not Isaiah. So will my word be that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. That is a powerful verse, and it's one that I've proven. The word of God will not return void. You may have to pray that word more than a day. You may have to pray that word more than a week. One of the reasons we have to pray it over and over and over again is because it takes a little while for us. It's not for God's benefit, it's for our benefit. Everything we get from God, we get by faith. Faith is believing. So the first time I prayed that scripture, I may have found a scripture, and it looks like a really good scripture, and it looks like a good scripture that I should pray, and so I start praying it. But I'm really not positively convinced yet that that's going to change things for me. So I keep meditating on that scripture, and I keep praying that scripture, and something happens. You know, the first time you read a scripture, you get knowledge. Did you know that? It's knowledge. The more you read, the more knowledge you get. But I know a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge and no common sense. I won't call any names. But that's true. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge. There are a lot of theologians that have all sorts of theological information that they've studied, and they've gotten information from studying the Bible and from studying history, but they don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. You know why? They don't have any understanding. You see, knowledge is an accumulation of facts. So the first time you read the scripture, it's an accumulation of facts. But when you begin to pray the scripture, when you begin to meditate on the scripture, when you begin to think about that, the Holy Spirit, that wonderful power of the Holy Spirit, will begin to help you understand the scripture. Now, you're never going to understand it all, because the Word of God is so complex and wonderful that no matter what you're going through, there's an answer in this book for you. And it's just so deep and so wonderful that no mere human could understand all of it. But he helps us. He'll help you understand what you need to understand. So you can get the knowledge and then you can get the understanding, but that's not enough either. You need something else. Knowledge is an accumulation of facts. Understanding is the ability to put those facts in order. But then comes the most important part, wisdom. Wisdom applies that information to your life. So as you're praying the word, and when you first start praying it, you want to believe it. It just seems too wonderful to believe it. It's contrary to what the doctors have said. It's contrary to what nature is saying. It's contrary to what your husband said when he said, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. But you just keep praying it, and you just keep praying it. It's contrary to the way your kids are acting. It's contrary, but you just keep praying it because you found a scripture that said what you needed. It said your children would be disciples taught of the Lord, always obedient to the voice of the Lord, and great would be the peace of your children. So you just keep praying it, and you just keep praying. Then if you happen to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, everybody has the Holy Spirit. Everybody's not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody doesn't have a prayer language. But if you have a prayer language, there's a wonderful scripture in Romans chapter 8 that says, when the Holy Spirit prays through us, he prays with groanings that we don't even understand, but he knows the mind of God, and he always prays the perfect will of God. So you can pray the perfect will of God over your children. You can pray the perfect will of God over your children. He knows the plan. And so you begin to pray that, and you begin to pray that, and it may take a while, but pretty soon you begin to believe that word more than you believe what you can see. And when that happens, something wonderful will happen. You say, how do you know? Because all of those prayers I've prayed. My daughter hasn't always been as perfect as she is now. At one time, she was a teenager. I remember asking the Lord one time, I said, Lord, how long am I going to have to pray for her? Am I going to have to pray for her till she's 18? And the Lord spoke very clearly to me, you'll have to pray for her the rest of your life. You didn't birth her for 18 years. You birthed her till the day you go to heaven. But the wonderful thing is we've become prayer partners. And she's grown into a beautiful woman. But did that happen accidentally? I don't mind telling her myself. No, it did not happen accidentally. It happened because her mother knew how to pray, and now she's got a baby, and she prays over that baby constantly, and all of a sudden she understands. And someday you'll understand if you haven't found the power yet to pray the word. And you can't pray the word until you get in the word. I know we nag you about that, but it's because it's so important. There are two things, there are two ways that God reveals his plans and purposes. You know, God has a specific way of working. God makes a decision. God has a plan or a purpose for your life, for all of us. In fact, Jeremiah 29:11 says it, "I know my plans for you, saith God. Plans to give you a future. They're plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you an expected end." We know God has a plan. In Psalms 139, the writer of the psalm said, "Before I was born, you knew me. While I was still in my mother's womb, you knew me. You wrote down every day of my life before I was born, before there were any of them." So God has a plan. But it's not just enough for God to have a plan. God wants to reveal his plan to you. That's the second step. He wants to begin to show you, to minister to you what his plan for your life is. God has an exciting, wonderful plan for your life. I can promise you he does. I can promise you he does. And then he wants you to do something. He has a plan. He reveals it to you. He wants you to pray it back to him. What? He wants you to pray it back to him. He wants you to call forth that plan. He wants you to find out what it is and begin to pray it back to him. And then he can bring it to pass. That's how God works. He can make it happen. You can't make it happen. You can desire it. You can find it in the Word. You can hear God's voice. But you pray it back to him, and then he does it. He opens the door. He makes the way. He empowers you. He gives you the right desires. He leads you in the way you should go. He begins to change things when you begin to pray his word. Through his word and through his spirit. Two things. His word and his spirit. His word and his spirit. You know, the potential that you have, every one of us has the same potential. Every one of us. Every one of us has the potential because when you were born again, when you received Jesus Christ as your personal